Yeah, it's not for everyone. I mean, I was into Star Trek and Lord of the Rings as a kid, so it's easier for me. But you know, there's a lot going on there. But you're only 68.
Meanwhile, I'm over here watching like old James Bond movies from like the '60s for no good reason.
You're an old soul. That's good.
That always happened. It is how it is.
All right. Everything else good?
Yeah, all good. Everything is hanging in there, I suppose. I mean, we don't have a huge amount to play for at this point, but there are still things happening.
Yeah, let's get to some Atletico chatter. But first, with 33 weeks down, it's time for a whip around.
Oh, hooray.
Let's do it. Friday, big result at Alaves. It finished 2-2 between Alaves and Real Valladolid. Pretty valuable point for the visitors, but they've still only won one in their last six. They currently occupy 18th place. So at least one point is better than none. On Saturday, Celta notching a huge win over Girona. That finished 2-1 at Balaidos. Celta are out of the drop zone. They're now 3 points clear in 15th place. Rayo and Huesca playing out the classic relegation six-pointer that ends in a draw. It was goalless there at Vallecas. Looks like both of those teams are going down, which is particularly...
A draw that helps nobody.
Exactly. It's particularly sad for Rayo. I always enjoy watching them. Shout out Paco Jemez and R.D.T.
Yeah, that is certainly a statement to have on the back of your shirt.
Barcelona, ho-hum. They beat La Real 2-1. Messi didn't score, which is a little surprising, but... Who really cares at this point what they do? They're going to win the league. On Sunday, Levante 2, Espanyol 2. That was 10-man Levante, just about scraping the draw. They, however, are in this fight, this relegation fight that is increasingly dramatic. They are level on points with Girona in 17th place. 10-man Getafe beat 10-man Sevilla 3-0. Getafe just rolled right over him. Sevilla, really bad result for them. They had been on a three-match winning streak, but their Champions League hopes took a big hit in this one. Karim Benzema notched a hat trick as Real Madrid beat Athletic Club 3-0. Villarreal got a big win over Leganés, who are pretty much already safe, but Villarreal far from safe. They got a little more breathing room with a 2-1 win. And finally, Valencia. They kept up their form with a 2-1 win over visiting Real Betis. Betis fans, not so happy with Quique Setién, Rob. They want him gone, as they were chanting during this game.
I find that totally bizarre.
Yeah.
With the good football and good results they got the first half of the season, I mean, I realize it's been bad, but, I mean, what more can you expect? I mean, no offense to them, but it's Betis. What are you expecting to happen here?
Well, the expectations were maybe unreasonably high this year, considering they were in Europa League. They qualified for Europa League last year. They played such beautiful football for a lot of last year, but you kind of could see a letdown coming. They don't have a number nine, and they've struggled to score goals all year. They were knocked out kind of in humiliating fashion in the Europa League. That being said, they are still in top half of the table.
Yeah, I suppose winning your group in the Europa League kind of means that you have the expectation you can compete there, but I mean, I don't know. I think Betis are in a good spot with a good coach, but sacking him now, I mean, I can understand people being antsy, but I think they have a good thing going at the moment, especially with the re-signing. His name just left my mind.
Lo Celso.
Yes, Lo Celso, yes, yeah. Absolutely. With signing him permanently is massive for them. I mean, this summer they could turn around and triple their money on him easily, but if they keep him, he's a spectacular player.
Yeah, he and Canales have both been just awesome this year. Diego Lainez as well has been good when he's played. They just don't have that focal point that lead that type of player who leads the line. They don't have him. And that sucks. Sucks for them. Also from this game, Rodrigo got sent off, so he will not be playing at the Wanda Metropolitano on Wednesday. Could mean Kevin Gamero starts, Rob.
Well, it's either Kevin Gamero or the player eternally linked with Atletico and Rodrigo. So it's one or the other.
The dramatic return of Kevin Gamero to his old stomping grounds.
Everyone will miss him. I'm sure he'll get a standing ovation. But I will say, for the roundup, the last thing I have to say is that I will be a little bit sad if I delete go down. I've enjoyed them this season, and them going down would be a shame. I would rather Levante, or even better, Girona, Atleti's bogey team, go down. Yes. But
yes,
we'll see.
All three promoted teams going straight back down. Not such a great look for Segunda. And not such a great look for any of those teams, obviously. But, you know, Huesca have played better than their standing suggests. Ryo have played better than their standing suggests. They just can't defend. And Valladolid just haven't been able to score any goals.
They've had a really slow second half. They did so well in that first half of the season, but then just kind of petered out.
Yeah, it's going to be a real, real fight for them to stay up in there. But they're only 2 points back of Levante and Girona. Celta are still in this as well. Villarreal aren't out of the woods yet. So 14th through 20th, that's quite the race.
I didn't realize Girona had lost 5 on the bounce. That's a tough run there.
And they're like the worst team in the league at home. Yeah, their home form is the worst in the league. They've only won twice at Montilivi this year. So naturally, Atletico go there and they can't beat them. Naturally.
I mean, it's standard procedure. Even more reason to want them to go down.
Yeah. All right, on to Atletico, where they went to Eibar on Saturday afternoon, and they beat Eibar by 2-0. Atletico, don't look now, Rob, but Atletico are second in the away table this season. Only Barcelona have picked up more points away from home than Atletico have this year. Can you believe it?
I mean, I can, considering some of the away performances and how just brutally terrible they've been to watch. But, you know, this was one of those. But they ground it out, and they found a way to get important goals. And late in this match, they came up with it again.
Yes, I'm calling it late season Atletico. It's not very interesting. There's not a whole lot to play for, but we're going to make it. Damn it, we're going to make it interesting.
We're going to grind out this 0-0 until we score.
That's the spirit. You could be Simeone with that kind of talk. At the very least, this was an interesting look at a Griezmann-less Atletico. I think this is the first time this year they played without him, important games, like non-early round Copa games. This is the first time Atleti have really had to play a game of some meaning without Griezmann. And it was interesting. Morata and Correa were the pairing up top, and they didn't do all that well. Morata played well. Correa missed a big chance in the first half and then did very little else, which is what we've kind of come to expect from him.
Thought the interesting thing was, in the absence of Griezmann, you'd think it would be one of those two, one of the strikers that would take his place, but it was kind of Koke that took the reins in terms of being chief creator, like Griezmann often does, dropping a little bit deeper than the other strikers to provide a little bit more.
Koke was fantastic in this game. He was one of his better performances of the season. He, as you said, just looking at his heat map, kind of backs up what you said. He did drop deep a lot to kind of conduct things and make things go. Fired off 5 key passes, 86% pass accuracy. Did a little bit of everything. 8 tackles as well, highest total on the team.
Yep, absolutely, and that was huge from him. I mean, it was interesting. This team kind of shared a lot of the responsibilities around rather than just relying on individuals, as Atleti teams often have in the past.
Yeah, it was definitely... I mean, we talk about the collective all the time with Atletico and how it's the collective strength that carries this team more often than not. But this truly was that kind of display. And no, it wasn't a very good game to watch. And no, it was kind of grimy and gritty and at times just kind of bad. But Atletico did grind it out in the end, thanks to Tomas Lemar, who we'll get into in a little bit. So Koke played really well. We also saw some more good stuff from Vitolo, who, of course, came off on the hour. But no, just more trickery, more versatility. kind of played that central left-ish midfield position, kind of drifting back and forth there. Completed a couple dribbles, one key pass. Just what Vitolo offers is, as we've said before, that change of pace, that versatility, that kind of directness that isn't really replicated elsewhere in this team. But it's just still so weird that he doesn't get 90 minutes. It's just very strange. Even without a whole lot on the line, he's not getting more than an hour.
And it seems like every time we see him play, come on as a sub or start, regardless, he looks like he's useful. If not the best player ever, I mean, clearly he's never going to be that, but he's a useful player. And I think in this team, he kind of makes sense in terms of his role and his abilities. So I think it was a good game for him to start, and I think he did well with that opportunity. It's just unfortunate that it comes at such a late stage in the season.
He has played 90 minutes once this season, Rob.
That does not surprise me. I mean, I honestly would have said he had played 90 minutes zero times.
Once, and that was on March 9th against Leganés, just a few days before that game in Italy that we're never discussing again.
Oh, yeah. On this forgot program. About that. He didn't play in that one, did he?
No, he didn't. Did he play in that one? He might have come on as a sub. But maybe I'm just repressing. Maybe. I'm repressing the memory of that game.
I read the match report. I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Yeah. My therapist says to kind of let things go sometimes. That's one of those things I'm letting
just
go.
Just block them out. It's a good strategy.
What else was interesting from this game? The Rodri and Tomas Partey pairing again. Now, I was on record earlier this season as saying I didn't think this would work. I thought that these two players just didn't offer enough going forward, but they were both too similar in terms of what they do defensively. But lo and behold, like, once again, this pairing has worked out. Tomas's ability to make long vertical passes, kind of, you know, it's a nice counter to Rodri's kind of very short horizontal passing, very extremely accurate horizontal passing. By the way, he completed 100% of his passes in this game.
Yeah, I mean, don't be too tough on yourself there. I mean, it still is a fairly conservative pairing in midfield. What yeah. really matters is the wingers and the strikers picked ahead of them. Because if we're back to the four central midfielders as your midfield, then yeah, that won't work at all. But if you have something that makes a little bit more sense with Vitolo and Correa, players more naturally creative and wingerish, then it makes more sense. And I think they did do well. I mean, obviously, Saul started at left back. He came into central midfield, and then Tomas had to move to right back because can never not have a central midfielder playing as fullback.
That's just rule number 5 in the Cholo handbook.
Yeah, oh, have to. They're great at it.
Yeah, so Tomas had to go to right back for the final 20 minutes because Cholo threw on Nikola Kalinic for some reason. Although, you know what? I will give Cholo credit. Kalinic did play a role in the build-up to the only goal of the game, so...
Yeah, I was about to say. I mean, yeah. He played a big part.
He didn't really do anything else, but yeah, he kind of got the hockey assist on the Lemar goal.
Yeah.
So,
classic Kalinic. Does something well, but it's something so slight nobody ever notices, and he gets no credit for it.
Yeah, it's so subtle, and he came on for a fullback, which... all right. I mean, it's a positive move, like inherently a positive move. But I don't know. We've seen so little of Kalinic this season. It's just kind of hard to get super excited. But he did play a role in that goal that Koke set up and Lemar finished. What else did you see from this game that stood out to you before we talk about Lemar?
Let's see. I mean, I think it was interesting that Kalinic came on, especially with Morata starting. I think. I mean, it seems kind of redundant having two target men up there, but it worked-ish. I mean, obviously, Kalinic won the header, and it was kind of a physical match, which it can generally be at Ipurua.
Yeah.
But they ground it out. I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, let's get on to your man here.
Yes, a man we have been... relatively speaking, harsh on this season. But he came up with the goods. Lemar came on early in the second half, where Correa Cholo didn't waste much time in making that change. It's a change he's made quite a bit this year, bringing on Lemar for Correa, or vice versa. But Lemar comes on, and you know, you see Atletico kind of grow into the game a little bit more. It was pretty even in the first half. Atletico had the one good chance through Correa that he kind of scuffed. But Dimitrovic did make a good save, but Correa scuffed it. Lemar comes on. His touches are kind of all over the place. He's drifting centrally. He's going out to the left-hand side, even taking some touches on the right. 85th minute, Kalinic settles down the ball after a bunch of headers. Picks out Koke. Koke on the run on this quick counterattack. Lemar, unmarked at the back post, takes up the ball, takes a step, slots home with a little bit of power, a little bit of pop to it, and boom. That was the game. On 85 minutes, Lemar getting his third league goal of the season, all three of them away from home at difficult grounds, the two against Getafe and this one against Eibar. Big moment for him. Definitely a big moment. There aren't that many storylines late in what has kind of been a lost season for Atletico, one that started with so much promise but has just kind of petered out. Well, more than just kind of, it has petered out. And for a guy who we've come down on, we kind of criticized a bit, this was undoubtedly positive. He got the winning goal. And I think we may have gotten a snapshot of what his role could be moving forward, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how he's deployed going forward. I mean, it's clear that, first of all, Diego Simeone likes him, and that is the first step of being an Atletico Madrid player these days, because you can be as good as Mario Mandzukic, but if Simeone doesn't like you, you're gone. So,
yeah,
you know, Lemar has won his trust, but now he needs to sort of win the fans' trust through goals and in product. And I think it's kind of come from a little bit of a misunderstanding of what he is as a player. I mean, he's clearly more of a creative player than a total in-product player. But I think the more goals he can score, certainly the better, because this team is lacking goals, especially beyond the strikers.
Yeah, and he did have that one season in Monaco where he bagged, like, what, 15, 17 goals, somewhere around there? But he's never...
And again, that was kind of like the Monaco magic season, yeah, where they went to the semifinals of the Champions League.
Yeah, they were Ajax before, well, Ajax this year.
The flavor of the month.
Yeah, that Monaco team was a ton of fun. And Lemar played a huge role on it. That team that won Ligue 1 with Lemar, Mbappe, Mendy, Bernardo Silva, you know, half of what now constitutes Manchester City's team, etc.
Yeah, those guys.
But it's interesting, and again, we don't have much in the way of storylines other than, you know, looking forward to what we can kind of maybe see next season, to what could kind of be the recurring themes into next season. But Lemar's touches coming kind of all over the map. Obviously, he finished off a move when usually you expect him to be the one kind of initiating that move, or making the key pass in that move. He'd been gone for a month as well with some mystery malady. The last game he played was the win over Alaves, where he got an assist on the third goal, the Morata goal in that game. But no, this was...
I think kind of more encouraging is that it was a team goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't totally based on Lemar. I mean, Atleti normally score goals on the counterattack or from a piece of individual skill, but this came from a battle of headers in the midfield, and then it fell to Kalinic, who gave it to Koke, who then played a nice ball to Lemar. So it was a good combination, and without really any star striker involved. So for this Atleti team, that's a positive.
Yeah, most definitely. Listen, Lemar's not going to be the guy who's going to bang in golazos. That's not the player he is. He's more crafty than that. He participates pretty heavily in build-up. You would like to see his end product improve next season. I think it kind of has to improve. He's only been responsible for 5 goals in 26 league games. For a guy you paid 70 million euros to acquire, that's just got to be better than, 5 goals from 26 games. It's just got to be better.
I do also wonder if Atleti could benefit from signing a player maybe on the wing that has some end product that Lemar could assist from time to time. That might be helpful too.
Yeah, it could. And with all that's likely going to go on this summer, I wouldn't discount it, that possibility.
We'll see. See what happens with Vitolo.
Yeah, I mean, who really knows with Vitolo? But, I mean, Lemar's underlying numbers aren't too bad. I mean, he's averaging about, per 90 minutes, about two key passes per 90 minutes in La Liga, which, you know, is one of the higher marks on this team. So that's, you know, the key passes stat, I think, is more important for Lemar than most other players. And he's also completes dribbles at a relatively successful rate, 2.5 per 90 minutes, which, again, this team doesn't have many, you know, successful dribblers on it.
Right, which is a problem. And, I mean, and the other thing about Lemar is he really just doesn't take that many shots in general. I mean, it's not often, I mean, this was a clear just, you're wide open, take the shot to win this match against Eibar. But in other opportunities, he's looking more for the pass than he is for the shot. So he's just that kind of player, and I think we have to get used to that.
And that's fine, but the end product, whether it's goals or assists, that does have to improve next season for 2019-20. We got to keep in mind this was his first year, and Cholo didn't really always know how to use him, and he maybe still doesn't. But that's what the late season games are for, when you're out of all the competitions. This is kind of what this is for. Time to experiment, time to play guys in different roles and maybe find something.
Yeah, I think so.
So, very encouraging from Lemar. Overall, you know, 3 points are 3 points. I think it's amazing that only Barcelona have picked up more points away this season than Atletico. I think that's just incredible, considering how poor Atletico have been away from home most of this season. That's just incredible to me.
It is pretty crazy.
So, yay, 3 points.
Oh, and I will say one other thing that I'm shocked that we haven't mentioned to this point is the reggae horns and Rodri 100% passing completion.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yep, I did touch on that earlier, but it is worth mentioning again. Rodri, 100% passing accuracy. We love him. Please don't leave.
Oh, God. I don't even put that out there.
there was that rumor, but it looks like it's gone away, so hopefully it does not come back. Oh, also, Saul played left back again, so that's great.
Let's give him some more reasons to want to leave.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I get that Felipe is the only left back in the team right now, but, I mean, at least put, like, Javi Montero out there, give him some reps. Don't play Saul there.
I mean, it would make more sense. It would make a lot more sense, but, you know, Saul has to play, and whether that's in his preferred position or somewhere random, you know, doesn't matter.
So, that's how Atletico rang up their 20th win of the league season. They are going to be one of three teams, possibly four if Sevilla finished the season really strongly. One of three teams in La Liga to win 20. They have the league's second-best goal differential at plus 27. They look very likely to have the league's best defense again. So, yeah, just kind of not ho-hum because it's been a very up-and-down season. But, you know, kept Barca honest. Made them pick up 3 points against La Real. Keeping, you know, your foot on the gas enough to get to second place ahead of Real Madrid. Just 4 points separating those two. But the gap could be closed looking ahead to Wednesday now when Valencia come to town. And Valencia have, well, they've improved, Rob. The Luck Dragons are now smiling upon them.
Yep, they got through in the Europa League and they're kind of turning it around with their strikers and their XG, which suggests that they were a lot better than they were at the start of the year. And I have a feeling they may end up in the top four, even though Getafe have been a great story this year.
Yeah, they've got Gonzalo Guedes healthy again. And that's pretty much been the key.
He's huge for them. He's so huge for them.
Yeah, he's really, really good. Getting him healthy again, getting more consistency out of the guys last year who were so key for them, getting healthier. Just kind of everything has started to click for them. They started scoring goals, and they've backed that up with their defense, which has been solid all season. So this is going to be a toughie. Midweek fixture, of course, which I hate the midweek rounds in La Liga. I hate them, but it's the last one of the season, so I will get over myself. Either way, it's a big one, because Valencia are still pushing for fourth. They're only 2 points behind Getafe, and who's got the head-to-head? I think Valencia have the head-to-head there as well, so this is really big for them. More than
Atleti. I mean, it they have far more to play for than Atleti do, so it'll be interesting. I mean, it's always a good game against Valencia, but this year it's kind of a shame it comes so late in the year when it doesn't mean much.
Not as much for Atletico, that's for sure. Griezmann will be back following his suspension / trip to Brooklyn to watch the Nets lose to the Sixers.
Oh, great, yes.
You just know he got suspended on purpose. That's the conspiracy theory.
I mean, really, to go watch the Nets, though?
he loves D'Angelo Russell. Loves him.
I mean, I kind of respect that in some ways, but it's also the New Jersey / Brooklyn Nets. What's going on here, man?
That's also a good point.
You know, but he also loves Derrick Rose. So...
And Derrick Rose is mad problematic, as we know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And not only that, but he also became terrible instantly.
he has no knees left, bro.
He got karma'd, as we say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we say in business. these are the two best defenses in La Liga, so expect goals galore. Expect a 4-3 game, probably. It should be a very tight tactical encounter. Simeone-Marcelino games usually don't see more than one or two goals scored in them. So do expect that. It's going to be tight. It's probably going to be pretty intense. Valencia really need to pick up 3 points. I think a draw is probably the most likely result here.
I think one of the teams is going to sneak it. I'm not certain which way it's going to go. I have a feeling it might be Atleti, just because I really do not love any of Valencia's strikers. So
yeah, with
I'm going to bet on the home side here.
With Rodrigo out, that could be a major loss for them. They had to start Guedes up top against Betis, but it worked out. He got both of their goals, and he's in great form. He is in this form. He is a match winner. So, obviously, the man to look out.
Danny Parejo is their top scorer in the league this season.
Which, that's crazy. I mean, Parejo is a great player. Truly underrated player.
And he has been for years.
Yeah.
But he's not a goal scorer.
He's at, what, 8 goals in the league this season? That is Valencia's highest total? Yeah. That's the kind of year it's been. I mean, they're at just over a goal a game, but their luck has started to turn. They're not drawing games anymore, but I get the sense of this, that this one's probably going to be another draw. I'll take 1-1. I'll take a 1-1 draw.
I'll go for a cheeky 2-1 on the Atletico. So.
Oh, that would be like a record for Simeone Marcelino duels.
But, of course, there will be a Kevin Gamero goal. Because, of course, there will be. He scored 4 goals all year in 28 games. Man, that is a Gamero line if I've ever seen one.
The Gamero revenge game. Can't wait.
I mean, really, 4 goals in 28 games could just be his entire resume. And that would tell the whole story.
Well, so that's on Wednesday. That is... It's a 10:30 kickoff my time, so that's, I think, 7:30 in Madrid, 9 hours. I think that's right. Yeah, so that is the 10:30 kickoff Wednesday. And then after that, Atleti host Valladolid on Saturday. Talk about another must-win, another team coming into Madrid with a must-win game. Valladolid, of course, in 18th, fighting relegation, 2 points adrift of safety. They are in desperate need of a result in the capital. So, yeah. 2 games in which Atletico don't have a ton to play for at home, but their opponents have a lot more to play for. So it should be interesting to see what the team's intensity is, what their levels are at entering the home stretch here.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, there really is nothing to play for, so it'll be interesting to see what teams get run out when players get used.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect a ton of rotation for Valencia, but I might for Valladolid.
Yes, we'll I see. Think Valladolid is when we might see some interesting changes.
We'll see. All right, Rob, well, we're going to leave it there.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colts Narrow Chat. Hope you had a fine Easter.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to join you here, Jeremy.
Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. Follow me, your host, on Twitter at jbbaron. You'll find all my Atletico and Phoenix Rising stuff there. You can also follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this very program on your favorite podcasting platform that includes Apple Podcasts. And become a Colts Narrow Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. We will have a bonus pod next week. It is my last week of school. I will have more free time. Bonus pod drops next week.
Lucky you.
I know. I'm so excited. Then I get a month, then I get a month off, and I have to go back to school, and then I graduate. So it's all happening. Patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. From as little as $3 a month, you too can become a Colts Narrow Chat amigo. All right, we're going to leave it there. We'll catch you later this week. Until then, adios.